All right. Our radio check checks out. This is Taiwan Special, Episode 2. All these are live streaming early on Monday to Twitch. And I sit down and I record them in a single shot. And they're on Twitch for a few weeks. Jesse.coffee, click on the Twitch button. You can go watch them on Twitch or you can, you know, the live stream. There's a little live, you know, latest live videos at the, you know, scroll down on Jesse.coffee. Great place to watch stuff if you want to do video. But audio, they show up at, you know, when they show up, they'll show up later on in the week. But as I record these, I send them live to Twitch, no longer doing the YouTube thing. Be a chap, support the project, Jesse.coffee, look at shirts. Great way to talk about it. Please, most importantly, though, just tell your friends. Like talk about it. It's okay to talk about it. But I love you, loyal listeners. It means a lot. Okay. Well, yesterday, or in the previous episode, I was talking about the manufacturing problems in Vietnam. Hold on a second. I need a little bit of water here. When people, you know, I'm over here in Taiwan and we're looking at education, excuse me. We're looking at trying to possibly start a school. Like there's talk about this. I'm calling some people and picking their minds. They've been in charge of a school and more than one been in charge of a school. And I've been picking their brains, pardon my French, asking about how to get a school going. Well, as I'm reviewing curriculum, I have curriculum experience. I sat on a curriculum committee when I was 15 years old, voting on my own textbooks. I wasn't ever interested in that student council joke. You know, that wasn't real government. It was kind of, I mean, it's student politics, but it's not really student government. I was a student in government. I voted on a committee. My name might be listed somewhere in Michigan's government as having been a member of a government-regulated committee. I mean, like, seriously, like, if I happened to be in a room with too many other people on that committee, and if it reached a quorum, like, we would have to, like, I as a 15-year-old would have to walk out of the room, or someone would, according to the law set by the Michigan Open Meetings Act. Well, that was me at 15 years old. So I know curriculum, and now I've got people in Taiwan coming to me asking me about starting a school. Well, I'm going back and dusting off my knowledge about curriculum or curricula. And so I was reading about language acquisition. I've already got Write.pink set up, and I continue to add to the Write.pink site. Very useful for ESL teachers. I met some people in Vietnam in my recent trip, and they're having to get jobs in Vietnam to survive because of whatever situation they've got somewhere else, not Americans. And they've got to teach ESL and they've got to do it fast. Well, Write.pink is a resource for them and they love it. They're like, my goodness, you did this? And I'm like, yeah, and I'm going to do more. Phonics was the big thing. Well, here's the thing. As I've been reading in curricula, The research tells us I could go on and pontificate about curricula, and I might do that at Write.pink as I train teachers. It might be a paid certification to be able to go through. I might certify teachers at Write.pink. I might actually do that. The Pink Write, the Pink Write line of business thing that I've got going. Here's what I've learned. I've always known this a little bit. But I didn't know that there was actual research to say this so directly. Without a vocabulary, humans cannot think. This isn't just a vocabulary makes you seem smarter to other people. That's not what it is. And it's not that a vocabulary allows you to express your intelligent ideas to other people so they can see your intelligence because you can use the words to express the ideas you have. It's not just that. Now, I've got a friend, English is his second language. His vocabulary, his syntax isn't that strong, so he talks slowly and has to think about his words, and he doesn't know as many words as a native language. But his accent's really good. So when he talks, he comes across as kind of an idiot in English. But when he talks in Chinese, like from my Mandarin, like he, I called him one time on the phone and didn't recognize his voice and talked to him in Mandarin. And he's one of the smartest Taiwanese I've ever spoken with. And he didn't know it was me. I didn't know it was him for just a few minutes there. I told him my name in Chinese. He's like, oh, hey, it's you, you know. So it doesn't have to be in all languages, but in at least one language, probably your native language, of course. Without vocabulary used to talk to other people, you cannot think. The vocabulary words and probably some syntactical structure like dependent clauses, long compound sentences, clarifications, disclaimers, that sort of thing. Probably a little bit, but the vocabulary is the big part. Without vocabulary that you use to talk with and communicate with other people, whether speaking or writing, probably speaking first, but if someone can't speak, I suppose writing or sign language vocabulary, without some sort of interpersonal communication vocabulary, without vocabulary meant for other people, vocabulary used to talk to other people, without that, we can't think inside our minds on our own. I'm going to say this only one more time and I'll move on. I'm serious about this. This blew me away. Without vocabulary that we use to communicate with other people, we can't think inside our own minds. Wow. Vocabulary, you know, I mean, humans were meant to interact with other people. We need other people. We need community. We're not loners. We're not hermits. We're not a hermit species. We're like fish that have to swim in a school. We're not lone tigers that go out all by ourselves. We don't work that way. The vocabulary we use to interact with other people helps our ability to understand our own worlds. And so there's research as I'm reviewing these curricula and research about curricula. It's absolutely vital in the year before, during, and after, the 3 years before, during, and after kindergarten, that children develop as big of a vocabulary as they can. And children with better educated upper class parents, better educated and upper class, like doctor, engineer, master's degree parents, they get bigger, better vocabularies, and then all of school goes better. And if they don't enter school with a big vocabulary, they get farther and farther behind in their vocabulary through school, and then they can't think. It's not because they don't get favor from the boss and the culture using big words. It's because they don't have the vocabulary to understand the words spoken in school. So there's fewer words that they learn in school and they get farther and farther behind. They snowball getting behind, whereas the other kids snowball and getting ahead. And it's all because of the words they know. How many words do they know the definitions of? And there's ways to teach this, and I'm going to be developing that for this Board of Education if we ever get that going. And I'll be explaining that on Write.Pink, the PinkWrite brand I have for certifying teachers. I'll be explaining that in other places. But that blew me away. Now, how in the world does that relate to Vietnam I talked about in the last episode? Vietnamese, just, there are a lot of details in life that they just don't see. When you're dealing with a war-ravaged country and you've got to just put food on the table, there's stuff that you don't have time to see. Well, I'm going to bring that together and talk about that in the next episode. So this is going to end this live stream today.